It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Whether you're looking to build a website for your business, your hobby, your podcast, or just for fun, Pear Networks is your go-to web hosting partner. Not only do we have the lowest domain price in the industry, starting at just $11, we've got hundreds of stunning website templates to help you stand out from the crowd. You're not a techie? Not a problem. With our easy DIY site builders, you can launch your impressive website without any technical know-how. And when it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 US-based customer support is the best in the industry. Check out pear.com today to learn more. PAIR.com.
Welcome. What's up, everybody? This is the Riverfront Bengals Show, episode 43. How is everybody doing this beautiful? It's Wednesday right now, and it is gorgeous outside. Greg, you been outside yet?
Yeah. Well, walking into the shop today to get here for this. It was really nice out. Yesterday was kind of an ugly day, but today's been beautiful.
Temperature's been down. I'll take that. It's 75 and sunny right now. I think it's going to be about the same. You know, this will hit everyone's feet on Thursday. I think the weather's going to be about the same tomorrow. Next week's going to be hot as hell. It's going to be mid upper 90s. Yippee.
But yeah, I did see that.
I'll take it while we have it. So anyway, Greg, how are we doing this week?
I'm fantastic. How are you?
I am ready to go. We have actual game footage and game experience to talk about. We have game to preview for this coming week. So it's that time of year. We're rolling. Reds have pretty conveniently kind of faded back into obscurity. So we're back to all Bengals all the time. So, hey, they did a job that kept our interest up until our football game started. So good job, boys.
Yeah. Overall, they gave us what, an extra month and a half we were not expecting. So, you know, got to be thankful for that.
That's kind of all I want for. Like I need whatever team is good, whether it's the Bengals or the Reds or whomever. It's you just need something to fill the space. So I need the after football season, I need Bearcats basketball to be relevant enough to get me from the end of football to the beginning of baseball. I need the Reds to be relevant enough just to get me through to the beginning of football season. So it's, you know, mission accomplished, guys. Yeah. We had stuff to talk about, and hey, City felt good about itself for a little while. So
yeah, we did.
Before we get going here, just a quick shout out again to our sponsor, SeatGeek. Again, couldn't be more pumped to have them partner up with these guys. Give us the best, simplest partner, or try that again, the best, simplest ticket platform out there. Each deal is scored green for good, red for bad. So if you're looking for prices and everything out there and they pop up with a red, someone's trying to screw you over, go to the next one over that has a green dot next to it. Someone, you're getting a lot better price on it. Viewers and listeners get $20 off their first ticket purchase with our code Riverfront. Again, link is in the description on YouTube and in the podcast feed. So outside of that, hey, have you heard the big news? We will be live September 9th. This was Chad and Nate announced this on the Mothership show last week at the Stretch at the Banks. It's September 9th, the day before the Bengals start their season against those ugly, awful Cleveland Browns. Excuse me. Struggling here. Come by. You can say hi. Heckle Nate and Chad. Greg will give you a great big hug. That's the thing there. You come in and just say, hey, Greg, I need a hug. Big old bear hug. He looks like he's a hugger. I will not be testing that out. No offense. I'm not a hugger myself, but, you know. Again, Stretch Freedom Way at the Banks near GABP. It's going to be a hell of a fun time. They have a lot of good drinks, a lot of cocktails, and we might be a little lubricated by the time we start talking. So that alone will be worth the price of admission. And, hey, the price of admission is free, so.
It will be fun. It will be interesting.
Yeah, very much looking forward to getting to see some of these people that we see in the comments and that we interact with on the socials and everything. So Bengals played a football game on Friday.
Sort of.
It was kind of an ugly, kind of boring game to watch. One starter played for the Bengals. Packers had their first string go for a couple series on offense and defense. Packers won 36-19. Good day for Evan McPherson, four field goals. One was 50 plus. Big news before the game, though, Joe Burrow was on the field running, throwing, had zero signs of injury. They didn't show him running full sprints or, you know, doing full mobility, but he looked fine. There was no reason to think there's anything holding him back, firing 50-yard darts down the field. He looks like he's going to be fine, and I wouldn't be surprised if he's out on the practice field within the next few days or a week. Again, back to the game that actually happened. One starter started, and that was Dax Hill. He looked good. Just had that one play. Have you ever seen a safety with that range? Like, I knew the player talking about. He was on the hash mark, and Jordan left their downfield, had a receiver open. He and a full out sprint and jumped in front last second to a touchdown saving play. Like, he's got just some absolute wheels and some instincts.
He does. I was, we haven't got to see much of him or really get to see him in like a setting like that. That was impressive. One of the small takeaways from the game where, I kind of tried to pump the brakes on everything else and then just kind of dive into some of the good things that happened. That was definitely one of them. I mean, that was an impressive play.
Yeah, absolutely. It's one of those plays to where it's more or less just kind of confirmation of the physical skills that he has, that he's got the instincts, that he's got the physical ability to cover that much ground. I mean, that was Jesse Bates, especially who was playing center field, and that's Jesse Bates isn't making that play. Yeah. I don't know if there's any other safety that has that kind of speed to be able to make up that much distance. I think it was Christian Watson was the receiver who's a really fast receiver. He had the cornerback beat. I don't even remember who was on the play, who had coverage on the play, but it might have been DJ Turner, and he had him absolutely roasted, and Dax Hill comes over the top and bats the ball away. It's just one hair late, and it's touchdown. It's great having that guy. Again, there's going to be some growing pains during the season, mm-hmm. just getting the communication and everybody kind of getting on, once they get on the same page because they've all been together, but just getting more comfortable working as a unit. But when you have that kind of, those kind of physical traits, it's absolutely, you can't teach speed. Like, you can't teach, height, you can't teach speed. So, now good and bad on the day, offensive line depth. Any thoughts on the offensive line that we saw?
It was not good. And that's probably the polite way to say it. It was definitely super questionable. But again, it's preseason week one, so I'm always I'm ready to pump the brakes here. Not going to overreact about preseason week one. I do think that when you start rotating multiple pieces and the farther you get away from the ones. The more you rotate those pieces around, the worse it's going to look as a whole. I've just, coaching football, you just see it. It's just not normal. It just doesn't feel right. And things just seem to go poorly when you get farther away from the ones. So I kind of, attribute it to that. And I am not panicking over this. Yes, it's not great for our offensive line depth, but I'm not yet ready to panic. I would more like to watch these guys inserted one at a time with the ones. For example, if you put attack with just the ones, I mean, everybody else is in their spots. I feel like you get a little bit better look than, when you're throwing everybody together and it's kind of a hodgepodge out there. So I'm pumping the brakes for now, but there wasn't much to take away positively offensive line-wise. From that.
Yeah, Jackson Carman, he played the entire first half, set the third quarter, and they put him back in the fourth quarter, and he looked like he did not want to be out there in the fourth quarter. He just looked terrible, missing blocks, missing assignments, a lot of them. Like you said, like you're saying before, it's a lot of it has to do with cohesion. And they were cycling through centers. I think they used four different guys playing center, Ben Brown, Nate Gilliam, Trey Hill, and Max Sharping. And you're not used to that cadence. You're not used to that voice and everything. But a couple of plays to where he just – I think maybe the snap came earlier than expected. The right guard reacted late, but Jackson Carman stood there while someone went by him on the inside and the outside. And it's obviously they're going to slow the video down and make it look terrible, but it's even if you miss the snap count, if they snapped early, if you see guys coming over, you know, going past you on both sides, shouldn't you react just more than anything to keep your quarterback from getting lit up? Again, this was Trevor Siemian. This wasn't Joe Burrow back there, but it's his technique looked terrible. He looked like he didn't want to be there. Obviously, he's no longer there's no competition. I mean, Jonah Williams is the right tackle. Does he even have a spot on the team? Does Jack Carman even have a spot on the team?
This is the one area or one part from this preseason game that I don't – that I'm not going to say pump the brakes on. I thought this was – this was bad. I mean, this was a bad look for Jackson Carman. I felt like it was almost like watching Antonio Brown with the Bucks take his shirt off and walk off the field. I mean, that's for some reason, that's what I kept like feeling. It just felt like a 4-year-old with I'm taking my ball and I'm going home. Just didn't really have any inclination to fight or scrap or claw for any of it. It looked like I knew exactly what was that I have no chance to start and I'm good. I don't need to, you know, my job here is basically done. That was the most concerning thing in my opinion.
Yeah, I don't disagree. And it comes down to you can't teach want to. Mm-hmm. And he didn't want, I mean, this has been an issue since he came, they drafted him, thought that they were drafting someone who's going to be able to start from day one. And each year he's lost roster battles every single year. And at some point he's not getting better. It's, I don't know if it's a matter of maturity. I mean, some people just don't, you know, I mean, the great ones have that drive to get, you know, to continually strive and get better. I mean, the rest of us, we don't have that. And that's fine, but if you're going to be a pro, you know, professional football player, and especially on the offensive line, to where you're going to get somebody hurt, if you don't have that, no, like if you don't have the drive, then he needs to go. I think they're going to move him back over to the left side. He's no longer going to be the swing tackle, because if there's any injuries to the tackles, if anything happens to Orlando Brown, Jonah Williams is moving over to the right side. And again, if anything happens to Williams, then you know it's going to be the right tackle. So he's not going to be the swing tackle. It's probably going to be Adeniji or maybe Deontay Smith, who looks like he's actually taken a step now that he's healthy. I thought I had him on my 53 man for, you know, when I did the projections a couple weeks ago. I don't know if he's there anymore. This next game will go a long way, whether or not he's a depth piece or not, or do they just look to go with the younger guys and. Got, you know, the guys are at least busting their ass and, you know, they're seeing improvement week over week. Clearly they're not seeing that. I mean, they put him back in the fourth quarter for a reason. Nobody who's even a backup is going to go in the fourth quarter of an exhibition, you know, of a preseason game if they don't, you know, if they're not looking for them to show something. And he showed something, absolutely, but it's just the wrong thing. Again, the rest of the offensive line, it's kind of a mixed bag. Some of the guys had decent games. I know Ben Brown was graded relatively well. Max Sharping looked decent playing center. We know he's not a great option if he needs to be your starting guard. I mean, he was absolutely just obliterated by Chris Jones in the AFC Championship game. But more guys that have experience, more guys that have ability to play center, if he can do that, you know, again, it's not a whole lot of great, but, you know, some stuff to go on and things at least to look forward to with a little bit of optimism going into for next game against the offensive line. Quarterbacks didn't look great. Browning's accuracy and decision-making didn't look good. Trevor Siemian had no time. I mean, he was under duress the entire second half. So you get a little bit of a pass. He's going to be starting on Friday against Atlanta. So he's at least going to be playing with the twos instead of the threes. But any, you know, is the second, you know, is the backup quarterback on the roster?
50-50. I don't know. After week one, you know, I would like to say pump the brakes again. I think let's see week two and week three. And I think by this week, you'll really kind of start to see your answer if the backup quarterback is on this roster. The way my thought process is, I'm expecting a huge jump for these guys from week one to week two with familiarity and knowing what to expect from the guys around them. So I do think we will see a jump from these guys to at least just kind of look a little bit like NFL football players, because what we saw on Friday was not that from the quarterback room. So I do think it'll get better. How much better, how much growth happens in the next couple of weeks, I think really will determine whether those guys or whether one of those two is the backup.
Yeah, and I have in the notes here, and what I really think is possible is Brandon Allen coming back. He is the fourth, you know, on 49ers depth chart. He is the fourth guy behind, obviously, Brock Purdy and Trey Lance, and then Sam Darnold's in third spot. So there's a big chance, there's a big possibility that Brandon Allen gets cut at the end of camp, and I can see the Bengals absolutely bringing him back. Because, I mean, he's – at least he knows the offense, and they're comfortable with what he can and can't do if he has to get put into a game for a couple series or for a game. Again, when you have an absolute elite quarterback like Burrow, Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers, something like that, if they go out for any extended period of time, your season's down the toilet. So that's, you know, people talking about, well, this, you know, they're going to win multiple games. Like, if you're having to play 6, 7, 8 games with your backup quarterback, you're shot. Even, you know, unless your quarterback one can make it back in time for the playoffs or something, and you can eke into the playoffs, yeah, your season's shot. So I'm not, again, I'm not worried about them being able to sustain, you know, to sustain. There's just not enough quarterback talent. The defenses are too good to be able to have that stud like 49ers had with Steve Young backing up Joe Montana for multiple years. There are no Hall of Famers backing up Hall of Famers.
Yeah. And Allen in his time here, at least like had the look, you know, when he was on the field, it wasn't like total disaster. You know what I mean? When he's on the field, they still looked like an NFL team, obviously not nearly as high powered, but I mean, he has the look right now. I mean, if you looked at Siemian and Browning compared to what Al, it's not even close. So I do think if those guys don't progress in the next 2 weeks, it's like the decision's made for you. I mean, you don't even have to grade the film. You just have to turn it on. And you're like, well, I mean, this isn't close.
Yeah. And again, I'm assuming grading him kind of on a curve because the offensive line was not good. But at the end of the day, you still had to perform, and it didn't look like he was comfortable in the offense. And again, he's the new guy to the offense, but they signed him in the winter. He's had plenty of time to learn the playbook and plenty of time in all of the OTAs and mini camps and things that have gone on and several weeks of training camp now. I mean, he's been sharing quarterback one duties with, you know, for almost 3 weeks now since Burrow, hurt his calf a couple weeks ago. So I'm expecting him to look better on Friday, but I'm also not expecting him to look like a guy who's going to be able to, you know, win 3 out of 4 games if need be or anything like that. So,
yeah,
again, Burrow's going to be back and ready. You know, he's going to be ready to go by week one, but injuries happen. You know, you want a guy that can at least let you give you a chance to win, you know, in the short term. And I don't know if that guy's there right now. Any thoughts on the running backs? Pretty much the only two guys that got carries were Chase Brown and Chris Evans. Any one of them kind of stand out to you or kind of separate themselves?
I mean, I thought Evans looked good, but I've thought that, you know, for years now. So I feel like lost in that equation, because I've always liked what I've seen from him when he is on the field. Chase Brown, I would say I feel kind of like par for the course. I think just continue to move forward from here. I try to temper these expectations of, you know, you expect everything to come out and it's just going to be perfect. It's just not going to be that way. When you're around football long enough, you know the first couple ones are going to be rough. Overall, the running backs, I mean, I thought that was kind of, I don't want to say a bright spot, but when you look at all the other spots, the running back spot kind of does look bright in that game one of the preseason. So I wouldn't give it an A+, but I wouldn't give it an F either. I thought there were some takeaways there that could be positives.
Yeah, I was pretty much of a mixed bag. Brown was only eight carries for 12 yards, but twice was given the ball in short yardage situations, and both times converted for a first down. Evans had 7 carries for 49 yards, which, you know, 7 yards carries nice, but one of those carries was for 33 yards. So again, made a nice cut, and he's got good speed to break away from the once he gets into the second level. But again, those other 6 carries, he only had 14 yards. So again, you're also playing behind a B and C level offensive line, but you know, they're battling for, honestly, I don't even know how everything's going to shake out with, because Trevion Williams is still, he still hasn't come back from his injury. I still think that the third down running back might not be on the roster. A couple guys finally went off the board. Zeke Elliott signed to the Patriots, which odd fit, but whatever. And Dalvin Cook signed by the Jets. And another, again, that they've been kind of flirting for a couple weeks. He was at their practice a few weeks ago, and there's a whole lot of smoke to them going there, but they have a bunch of running backs. They've got, I mean, I get Breece Hall's coming back from injury. Michael Carter's a decent running back. I'd be okay swinging a trade for Michael Carter. I liked that guy coming out of college out of North Carolina.
A little North Carolina running back.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's still some guys out there. I don't know in terms of fits and stuff like that, but I still think there's a possibility that their actual third down running back, in terms of picking up, just someone they can trust picking up the blitz. I don't know if that guy's on the roster yet. Again, Chase Brown had really, really good grades for his blocking coming out of college. His grades, like, he had the worst pass blocking grades of anybody on this entire team on Friday, but only a handful of opportunities. He got just totally whiffed on a guy, but again, there's only a few opportunities, and he's, you know, I mean, you're getting scraps, you know, you're kind of at the bottom of the running back depth chart. You're not getting a ton of reps in practice, and I think he'll be fine. And I think by the end of the year, he'll be the clear cut heir apparent to be the starter next year for that matter. But I think he'll get third down reps by the end of the year, but I think they'll want somebody that's a little more reliable to start out with. Just, you know, we see what happens, you know, Joe Mixon is going to get Joe Burrow killed with his blocking ability. So they want someone who's going to be able to pick up that blitzer and then release, you know, check and release if need be. So,
yeah, I kind of expected him to not necessarily look so great in pass blocking. I feel like in practice, when you're seeing that pass rush, A, it's not going to be from a defensive end that can go get his first sack of the year. Like, it's just a totally different thing. I don't know that you can go like full speed reps on that maybe a couple of times in practice. So I do expect him to have tremendous growth in there, because he was known as a very above average pass blocker coming in. So I feel like, again, with the next week or two, that may determine if there is a move on that, on the back end for a running back that you can bring in and feel a little bit safer about. Right now, I would lean towards, I think they're going to be okay, and I think he'll kind of mold into that role. I think it's one of those things, once you see one rep, okay, now I know what I'm looking at. Now I know what it looks like. So I expect, this is another spot where I expect some serious growth from week one to week two. I can't imagine stepping on an NFL field and seeing that first snap and you got a 6'4", 270-pound defense. I just can't imagine that. So the fact that I think you see that rep once, I definitely think he'll be better off, moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, he played in the Big Ten, so it's not like he wasn't seeing, like, fast, big defensive ends or, you know, picking up blitz from linebackers or anything like that. But it's a different speed in the NFL, and game speed is a lot different than speed, you know, than the reps during camp when your teammates aren't looking to, you know, they're not looking to kill you. They're not looking to blow you up, and they're not looking to kill the quarterback. So yeah, it's, I think he'll be fine in the long term. He had a good game catching the ball, 3 catches for 33 yards, I believe. One was a really nice 21 yard pickup where he had a lot of, made a lot of moves and everything. He's got the pretty good breakaway speed. How big are these next two games for Chris Evans to stay on this roster? I mean, does he have to absolutely show out and have huge games to stay on this roster? Or does that even matter? Is he just putting up game film for his next team?
I think I would probably lean towards putting up game film for his next team. Unfortunately, I think that's the case. But for him specifically, personally, I think it's got to be the two biggest games of his career, I would imagine. I mean, I think he'll get picked up by somebody, but will he stick with that team after getting picked up? He feels like that guy that just is going to end up being the guy that gets picked up but never stays anywhere.
Yeah.
And I think these 2 weeks are massive for him. And I, like I said, I've liked Chris Evans ever since he got here when they drafted him. I loved the pick. I thought it was, you know, low risk, good reward. And I've liked some things I've seen from him. So like, I hope he does well, and I would like to see him land somewhere. But at this point I feel that, yeah, he's got a super uphill battle to try to make this roster, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, he's got great pass catching ability. I mean, he runs routes, catches like a wide receiver. His big issue is hitting the hole. Like he struggles finding the right hole. You can see one of his one of the carries that he had, and some I can't remember who it is. There's some of the follows on Twitter. These guys are more offensive line kind of gurus, as it were. And they said you see a ton of holds on Chris Evans' rushes because he never hits the right hole. So, you know, he maybe did someone come from the backside, like someone trying to pick up a block from someone who's running back isn't supposed to be there, and they're having to try to reach for a block at the last second to give him that crease for, you know, to go through. So, and that's something that performance doesn't really matter. You can be ripping off 20 yard carries every other carry, but if you keep hitting the wrong hole, if you're not going where the play is designed, then you're going to struggle to stick on any roster. Like you can't freelance. And unless you're Patrick Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers in a broken down play, and you're running around just trying to, you know, buy time, like you can't freelance on an NFL field. You'll either get somebody killed, get yourself killed, or you'll just be off kicked off of the team. So,
yeah, I mean, there's a handful of guys in the entire NFL that can freelance, and that's only every once in a while. I mean,
yeah,
we talk about Mahomes freelancing. How many plays a year do you think that is? Maybe 5. It's not a ton. I mean, there is only a handful of guys. When you're Chris Evans freelancing, no, not a chance.
Yeah. You're a back-end guy just trying to carve out a bit of an NFL career. Yeah, just go where the play is developed, you know, especially in preseason. It's one thing if the hole isn't there and you bounce it outside, but you got to at least hit the hole first. Like find the hole and then, you know, and then bounce outside. I kind of frustrating again, because he's got all the physical ability. It's just,
he does
run the play the way it's to the wide receivers. I mean, again, we're focusing more just kind of on depth guys. Cause again, there are a lot of the guys that played in the second half and late in the second half, guys that really, I just don't care too much about. I don't care about Matt Kippenhammer. I don't, you know, Trenton Irwin, fine. He had 1 catch for 32 yards. He's, you know, we know he's going to be there, and we know Kwame Lassiter isn't going to be there. But you see anything from Charlie Jones or Andre Yosevash? Trying to say, make sure I say his name right. There was Bengals put out something on social media yesterday. It's hilarious. DJ Reader was interviewing players in the locker room, trying to see if they could pronounce Andre's last name. Did you get a chance to watch that?
I did. Yeah.
It was hilarious. Only one player knew how to pronounce it. Wasn't T. Higgins. T. Higgins thought it was Yoshi.
Mm-hmm. There was some good ones.
Yeah.
Ones.
A they couldn't spell it. It was pretty damn funny. And then they had Andre at the end, like just like pronouncing it properly. But he looked really good. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree. I thought the everything that you've heard about how good he's looked, I thought, I'm not saying he hit a home run, but I thought he was just again, game one, just the look, just had the look of an NFL receiver to me. I thought he looked like he fit somewhere on this team, and not just on the team. I think he fits with some capacity to make some plays for us. I really like the way that I like the way that kid looks. I just like the look.
Yeah, I mean, he's got the physical build of a prototype NFL receiver. He's 6'3", 215 pounds. Again, he runs really fast. I mean, he ran four fours, I think. He can high point the ball. He had four catches for 50 yards, long of 24 yards, and there was a lot of yak in that. Like, made some moves, cut across the field, turned up the sideline. This isn't a project. And we talked about this last week. This, when the Bengals made this pick, that's someone that's maybe he's going to be the last guy in the wide receiver corps. Good chance he's going to be practice squad. He wouldn't make practice squad. He'd be absolutely yanked off waivers if they tried to pass him through. And yeah, I think he has a, you know, I don't know how many opportunities there are for your wide receiver five in terms of how many passes he's going to see, but he's absolutely someone who looks like if he has to go in and cover, you know, play for a series, if someone gets a cramp or something and you see him covering for T. Higgins for a series, I don't think, not that you wouldn't miss much. I mean, T. Higgins is one of the best, 20 wide receivers in the game, but it's not like you're throwing out just some absolute scrub that shouldn't be on the field. I mean, this is a guy that can run, that can jump, that can catch. And he absolutely just looked, you know, doesn't look like a guy who came from the Ivy League that, you know, right, catching balls from some guy who's probably working at an investment firm or as a hedge fund manager right now. So
that's the other impressive part. He's coming from the Ivy League. So his step up compared to a guy coming from, you know, Arkansas or Alabama or, you know, whatever the case may be, Michigan, those kind of schools, their step up is obviously, it's still a giant step, but his is more of like a Grand Canyon type of step going from the Ivy League to the NFL. And I didn't see any, like, I don't want to say fear, but I didn't see that hesitancy of, oh my gosh, this is fast, which I'm sure is kind of a feeling that some guys get. So I thought he looked really good. And I just think back to last season, Jamar missed a couple games, Boyd missed a couple games, and I just envision, you know, him jumping in there, and I feel like, okay, I don't know that you necessarily lose a ton. I feel like the offense could have kind of stayed with it if he can step in for a week here, a week there, a week there. I would have loved to have had him last year. I think he's a really nice receiver, and I think when you have a player that is good, if you do the right things as a player, some way, some form or fashion, the football gods find a way that you will be on the field. So he'll be on the field at some point this year. I can basically guarantee it. For how long, who knows? But I do think he'll have some opportunities this year to swing a game or two.
Yeah, and he also threw a screen pass to Kwame Lassiter, and he threw a hell of a block on the outside to spring him for a decent size gain. So, I mean, he knows how to throw his body around, and that's what the Bengals wide receivers kind of pride themselves in, their blocking ability on top of everything else. The only concern is the wrong word. It's a good problem to have, but what's his role long-term? He's not a slot receiver. I mean, Tyler Boyd's going to be gone next year, and presumably Charlie Jones was drafted to take that spot. You can't have him out there. Like, they don't run four wide, so, and you know, Jamar isn't going anywhere, and most likely T's going to be extended here in the next couple weeks. So I don't know. Again, that's a long-term problem. He's a sixth-round rookie from the from the Ivy Leagues who's, you know, yet to play a regular season game, but I'm looking long-term and just by impressed at how he is and kind of like, I wish we had more opportunity. You know, I wish there were going to be more opportunities to use the guy, but how often do you go, you know, do you go four or five wide without, you know, without using running back split out or, you know, a tight end split out or anything. So
for me, I look at it as an offensive coordinator from my brief time as an offensive coordinator, but the best thing you can have as an offensive coordinator is multiplicity, being able to do multiple things. And I think he gives the Bengals, you know, down the road or in the future, he gives the Bengals the ability to, okay, let's, okay, we're playing somebody who we feel like we can really take advantage of their slot corner. Okay, T, you're out wide. Andre, you're out wide. Jamar, step inside to the slot. And now I can move pieces around and not feel like they can just cover Andre one-on-one on the outside and it's no problem. Well, it's going to be a problem because this guy can play. So I feel like it just gives the offensive coordinator options. And if you have the more options you have in the NFL, the better off you are. So I see him allowing us to do some things that maybe we haven't quite been able to do yet. Just giving us a little bit more freedom in play calling and in alignment and assignment for guys. Just kind of broadening that playbook just a little bit, because let's say your slot corner is a little bit down and all of a sudden now Jamar's in the slot. I mean, that's an issue. So I like the multiplicity that he gives us and allows us to kind of do some different things maybe that we haven't done as much of.
Yeah. And I guess you can kind of scheme around as the Chiefs did against the Bengals. Some of these slot corners are pretty short. Mike Hilton's 5'9" and they schemed around so that he was covering tight ends, and your 5'9" cornerback isn't going to be able to cover someone who's 6'4", 6'5". And I mean, he's 6'3", T's 6'4". I mean, Jamar's the short one at like what, 6'1", 6'2". Mm-hmm. If you're able to scheme those things around, then yeah, I mean, that's something to do, but it's kind of, you just want to see him more and more and more. Yeah. Again, we've got an all world triplets as it is with, you know, with the TB, Jamar and T, and fourth guy isn't going to get a ton of targets, but it's kind of like, I want to see this guy get more targets. I don't want to see, can we just not run the ball and just throw the ball every down? If you, yeah, you know, if it's a running situation, then just, you know, their little screen pass or something out to the flat or something, figure it out. I don't want to see him hand the ball off. I just want to see Burrow flinging around to all these guys. So
this statement just popped into my head, and I've never said this about the Bengals before. The rich get richer. We've never been that team, but I feel like I can use it in this scenario with wide receivers. The rich get richer, and we're talking about the Bengals. Let's go.
It's crazy. Charlie Jones, again, he came back. He found out last week he has a torn labrum in his shoulder. He's holding off on surgery till after the season. He struggled. He had two punt returns, total of 7 yards. Didn't make a whole lot of noise in the passing game. I don't even see him on the chart, so he didn't even get open for a target. So he two catches for 11 yards on 6 targets. He was struggling just to create any separation. Wasn't able to make anybody miss. That's kind of his game. I don't think that's going to be a problem, but you wanted to see more from someone who's supposedly the more NFL ready. And again, we're talking a handful of snaps in one preseason game with starting out. I mean, they were going against Green Bay's ones on defense. And again, you always want to see your draft picks to absolutely just ball out their first game. And that's not going to happen. I mean, people are losing their stuff because Miles Murphy didn't have 27 sacks on Friday, but he looked like the one who has a lot more of a learning curve. Did you see anything that kind of gave you a little pause or just kind of
get
over the first gifts?
Yeah. I mean, I completely agree. He did look like, he looked like the sixth rounder, not Andre. And I just have this feeling in the pit of my stomach. I'm getting very nervous about Jones. I feel like he's a guy that's just going to be a really, really, really good college football player, but just doesn't quite equate. I mean, I'm just getting that gut feeling. I'm getting a little nervous. He's a little limited in some areas. I know he does some other things really well, but I don't know. I'm getting that feeling for some reason. I hope I'm wrong, but I am getting a little nervous about that situation. Not that it's a huge miss if your fourth round pick doesn't, you know, become a star, but I think we all kind of, once that draft happened, I think we all kind of looked at that spot and said, okay, we got something here. And now I'm kind of pulling the reins back on that a little bit. And I don't want to say scared or, but I am a little nervous that I feel like he might not use the little Denny Green line. He might not be who we thought he was. I don't know. I'm getting a little nervous.
It's, again, it's early, and who knows how much of that, like, was he hesitant at all because his shoulder's hurting? Like you might let off the throttle a little bit because, you know, you don't want to get hit in the shoulder, so you're not going to make that extra move and maybe, you know, maybe break a big play, but you also might be exposing yourself to a bigger hit. We'll see how it goes just over the next couple of weeks. And the problem is when you draft somebody and automatically pencil them in, this guy is a replacement for this guy next year. This guy's, you know, they are drafted him saying he's Tyler Boyd's replacement and he's going to be the punt returner this year. Unless you're like a first or second rounder, it's premature to do any of that because there's such a big, big leap from college to the NFL. So we'll see. And again, Trent Taylor, he'll beat out Trent Taylor for a roster spot. And my whole thing with punt returns, can you do this? If you can do this and catch the ball, that's all I care about. It's nice if you have Pac-Man Jones punt return ability and you can take one to the house, but ultimately just catch the ball and don't fumble. Like hand the ball to the referee so your quarterback can take the field. That's all I really care about.
Yeah. If you can catch it and get 6 yards, get forward, I'm perfectly happy. If it's a fair catch, I'm also perfectly happy with this offense.
Yeah. I thought the defensive interior looked pretty decent. Some guys on the depth chart that I will actually get, you know, will get actual playing time made really big impacts. Jay Tufele had a great game, I thought, especially in run game, but he had some good push from the interior in the pass game. What do you think about his day? And also Dominique Davis had had a good day, guy that they got. I think he was a USFL player last year. Another guy that kind of showed up a little bit.
I thought Tufele really helped himself. I really did. I thought he looked the part and played pretty well. I think the D-line's really coming together. For obviously, we didn't get to see the ones. You got to see Murphy a little bit. But I do think this D-line has a chance to come together and be, in my opinion, clearly the best D-line as a whole that the Bengals have had in this kind of run, if you want to call it. So I'm very excited for the fact of I feel comfortable that we can rotate guys more frequently and keep some guys fresh. Because I think if we're fresh on the D-line, it's a problem. It's a problem for teams. And I think that that's my biggest takeaway is that I feel comfortable with some of those guys getting a few more reps and keeping us fresh. And I think teams will feel that when we're fresh.
Yeah, and I don't know what his actual role will be. I mean, he's more the size of a three technique. He's 6'3", 305. If he can provide consistent push in the pass game, I think that's what they're missing. They need someone to spell BJ Hill, and BJ Hill was best 2 years ago when he was actually the second string guy coming in for Ogunjobi. If you got guys that can split the snaps right there 50-50, whether that's him, whether that's Dominique Davis, he had a couple good plays. The one pressure that he had, actually got a quarterback hit on the throw that I can't remember who Clifford. That's right, Sean Clifford. Threw the ball right to Tyson Anderson. Tyson Anderson was a pick six. That was all because of Dominique Davis coming in and giving some great push from the inside. Again, Bengals have good edge rushers. Trey Hendrickson is one of the best. Sam Hubbard, you know, give you some push. O-side, as you know, Miles Murphy, they're pretty deep there. At Cam Sample, I think, is going to have a pretty strong season. It's how much push can you get from the inside? DJ Reader can give you some push, but he's more of a run stopper. if you can get guys down up and down the depth chart that can, you know, that can provide help rushing the quarterback, that's just going to help everybody, and it's going to keep everyone else fresh down the stretch. You don't want your guys coming out in the week 15, week 16, week 17, starting to get tired, because you need that push in the postseason, and hopefully the Bengals are able to secure the number one spot and get the seat, you know, and get the bye. But you're still playing 2021 games. You know, if you end up having to play, if you don't get the one seed, you're gonna be playing 21 games to get all the way to the Super Bowl. And kind of pacing yourself and getting, you know, being able to keep your guys as fresh as possible. I mean, that's, if you can do that, then you're doing really well.
Yeah. And this brings me back to, I think we did this. We talked about this so many podcasts ago, may have been four or five shows ago. But we talked about the one Bengals player all time you would love to add to this roster. And I believe your pick was Geno Atkins. Yeah. And that just rings even more true in this moment, that if we can get some push from those guys, just imagine not adding Geno Atkins to this roster, but a lesser Geno Atkins. Just some resemblance of it. If we can get some kind of push, this D-line goes from really, really good to who knows? Who knows? Because if you get that middle push, it changes everything. And I think our best attribute from our defensive ends, other than consistency, is that they're very good about their depth against the quarterback. They don't overrun the quarterback. They're very good about getting to the quarterback's depth and then retreating back so that he can't squeeze out through the pocket and then take off running. I think that's one of the things our DNs do a great job of. They really do hem him in the pocket. So if you get a middle push, it changes everything. So if they could get some form or fashion of that, it would be tremendous and so much more valuable than people think.
Yeah, and we didn't even see Zach Carter. He was the draft pick they had last year. Was the third rounder out of Florida that he transformed from defensive and defensive tackle. He's up to 305 pounds now. He's big enough that he's going to be able to take on the interior offensive line. But he still has the quickness of someone and the pass rush ability of someone who is a defensive end. So I'm excited to see how he looks. I would assume he'd get some run on Friday. He didn't. From as far as I could tell, I didn't check snap counts, but there's no stats. There's nothing listed for of him playing on Friday. So that's another guy. Again, just the more depth, the more guys you can roll out there. I mean, if you can do line changes like in hockey, I mean, sub in an entirely fresh defensive front for, you know, just for a series, give those guys a blow.
Yeah.
And that that's what makes you a great defense, is being able to be relentless. So, secondary cornerbacks were kind of a mixed bag. Most of them kind of look kind of pedestrian. I thought DJ Turner looked pretty good. He showed his speed, had really good coverage on the outside on one play. It was a fourth down play. They went for it because it would have been a long field goal. Stuck to the receiver like glue. Pass was, I don't know if it was a back shoulder pass or if it was just thrown behind. He turned, made the play, and batted the ball away. He looks like a guy who can be a starter and can be a starter soon. The other guys look pretty terrible. Alan George, Sidney Jones looked terrible. That's a guy who they thought was going to be a, you know, like the fourth cornerback when they picked him up. And he looks like he's going to be, cut. You know, twice that I saw that was obvious. He had decent coverage, but just never found the ball, gave up touchdown pass on one and another one. Again, just absolutely just didn't turn around, didn't look, didn't even, you know, I don't know the ins and outs of cornerback play, but there's no reaction to the ball. It's I'm staring at the receiver, he catches it, then I'm tackling him instead of trying to make a play on the ball. So
that is probably the worst sign that I saw all day, because I think the number one attribute, especially in today's NFL, of somebody in the secondary is you have to be able to play the ball. There is no guy catches it across the middle and you just smoke him and he drops the ball. No, you have to be able to play the ball. Like, otherwise it's a penalty. So him not being able to react to the ball, I thought was very damaging to his chances. But Turner, I thought, looked the part. I thought, He was exactly what I wanted to see, and why every single week I just find myself getting more excited about Turner. I really like what he's bringing to the table, and I think he's going to be a nice piece for us.
Yeah, and he's bigger than I thought. For some reason, I thought he was like 5'9", 5'10". Maybe I'm thinking of DJ Ivy. I think Ivy might be a little bit smaller. But, I mean, he's 6 foot. I mean, he's not a huge defensive back. But he's, you know, outside of guys that are, tight ends or Higgins size receivers or anything, his size isn't going to be a big deal. And he's got that 4.2 speed that he can always has on his back pocket. If he, you know, gets lost on a double move, he's going to be able to make a lot of ground fast. Again, we didn't see any of the starters. I don't even know when Cheeto is going to be out there, if he's even going to play in any. I would assume they'd try to get him some snaps, but he's still not fully practicing with the team. So these are guys that are special teamers and back of the depth chart. If you have 1 week where you got three guys down, you know, and none of them really look to separate themselves. Jalen Davis, I think, has the backup slot cornerback spot kind of locked down, running behind Mike Hilton. But the rest of these guys look like guys that are going to be looking for jobs here in a couple weeks. On the other hand, safeties. People were talking about how big the Bengals are going to struggle in their secondary because they lost both starting safeties. I think they've got a ton of talented safeties, and then everyone that played looked fantastic. Again, we talked about Dax's play of the game. I mean, Tyson Anderson had a pick six, but I think Dax still had the absolute play of the game. I mean, it had to be a 30-yard sprint, full speed, to make a play on the ball clean to deflect the sure TD. Jordan Battle had an awesome pass deflection at the right in front of the goal line. Again, Tyson Anderson, he was the sixth rounder, I think, last year. Had pretty much a redshirt year last year, had a hamstring injury, and then could have been activated, but they didn't really need to activate him off of PUP or anything. So he has to show a lot this year to make sure, you know, to make him hit, make sure he makes the team. He was the highest graded defensive player that PFF had of anybody left last week. So again, two interceptions, two totally different plays, one good instincts to read the quarterback and make a huge break on the ball. And the second one was just out-muscling the receiver for the ball. Again, it's going to be a little bit of growing pains for, you know, for the secondary, especially the safeties, to round into form in terms of just being a cohesive unit just for the communication. But they have some athletes, man. They have some absolute studs out there. And that's – Nick Scott didn't even play a snap, and he's as fast and, you know, had been as ascending player as well. So it'll be fun to see them play. Do you have some of the same concerns that I do about just communication, or just, you know, let them be athletes, or?
I don't know that I would necessarily call it a concern. There's going to be there's going to be mistakes that happen communication wise. It's definitely going to happen. But I trust Anarumo. I mean, he's going to get those guys in shape, and you hear him talk last year about, the one quote was something like, I don't want to talk about the day of if we lose Von Bell and Jesse Bates. He knows how important it is back there. And I promise you he's putting his efforts into those two areas probably more than anywhere else, in my guess. Yeah. But my biggest takeaway was I felt very good for Dax Hill, because he needed to come out and have a good showing, in my opinion. If the first year you get almost no reps, I mean, literally no reps, and then here in year two, now we let two big free agents walk, and now you're kind of expected to take a role. If this game would have gone poorly, I feel like Dax Hill could have felt like he had the world on his shoulders. So the fact that this went well, I feel like it just kind of makes this an easier process, an easier transition. And I'm just happy that Cincinnati media is not going to be talking about what are we going to do if Dax Hill's not the answer? What is this? You know, so I feel like he relieved himself of some of those things by playing well. And I'm happy he did, because now I think he can just play football and not worry about what everybody else is talking about. And I think that would have been a hot button issue if he didn't play well, and probably rightfully so, because we haven't really got to see much of him.
Yeah, they kind of set him up. I don't want to say set him up for failure, but he was the only starter that that played of the, you know, outside of the specialists. Everyone else sat. And if he went out and performed poorly, I mean, no, granted, he was going against Green Bay's one, so it's not, you know, not as if he was going to get roasted by backup, but it, you have to be at least confidence-wise for him, confidence-wise for Lou and Room. And again, Lou's background is as a secondary coach, so this, you know, this is absolute. He was probably chomping at the bit, like, going to lose both my safeties. Don't want to do it, but all right, cool, let's get to work. Like, and I'm had a game plan, and again, that's they signed Nick Scott knowing, you know, he has a lot of the attributes that Lou specifically wanted, besides the physical play, I'm sure, the leadership and things like that. So, again, just you love being able to see someone just have the confidence to be able just to let their athleticism just go like that. So, but again, they're showing the depth. I mean, Jordan Battle, are they going to have to run a lot of three safety sets now because of, I think Dax Hill is going to be the designated tight end coverage since Trey Flowers is gone. Do you have Trey play on them and then still bring Nick Scott and Tyson Battle or Jordan Battle in for three safety looks on defense? I mean, that's, you can do a lot with that. Tyson Anderson showing that he's, you know, he's got the ability to play. You still have Grandpa Mike or Uncle Mike, sorry, not Grandpa Mike. Uncle Mike Thomas. Dang, as the
throwing him up to Grandpa.
I mean, he's another year older. Yeah, I mean, he's your special teams player and just the old sage veteran, you know, who's been around the block and knows, you know, everyone kind of lingers around him just to ask questions and just to kind of learn off of him. So Bill Barnwell on ESPN had a column of what, you know, each team's biggest weakness, and he put the secondary as the Bengals' biggest weakness. If this is their biggest weakness and it's the most physically talented, like the safety group and cornerback group, they're in really damn good shape.
Yeah.
Again, I mean, part of the article, he was hedging on what if Awuzie doesn't come back healthy, or if, you know, it knees a little creaky and stuff like that. And a lot of what ifs. But in terms of just sheer talent, I think they're going to be okay.
Yeah.
Let's trust that the coaching staff is going to put them in the right position, and that they've got the guys, they found the guys that they wanted.
Yeah, and we talked about Andre being giving the offense a bunch of options, and kind of giving that offense coordinator that multiplicity to do what he wants. With Dax Hill, Jordan Battle, Scott, I feel like the defense, it's even more valuable. If I give Anarumo options, I mean, the guy's a genius. So to give him options on three safeties, two safeties, one high, two high, and feel comfortable in all of them, like you can play them really well, watch out, man. Watch out. Because you give Lou Anarumo decisions, and he seems to make the right decision every time. So I'm super excited that he has even more options. He's like the mad scientist, and we just gave him another toy, and I love it.
Yeah, and especially when, you know, when you get around midseason, when everyone's kind of settled in and everyone's kind of humming along, being able to see what he can cook up, I mean, that's what's fun. I mean, that's they call him the mad scientist because he, you know, he comes up, and he's the one guy who's been able to fluster Mahomes, either dropping eight in the coverage or totally changing schemes on the fly, changing game plans up at halftime. I mean, he's able to kind of just pick apart whatever you think their weakness is, he'll make it a strength. And when you have that guy, first off, I still can't fathom why that guy doesn't have a head coaching job. I mean, we talked about it in the, you know, earlier in the offseason when the carousel was going on, but I appreciate that everyone wants the younger offensive coach. Again, I don't know why Brian Callahan still doesn't have a job, but again, overlook these guys. I mean, they deserve a head coaching gig. They deserve the bag of cash that comes with it, but I'm happy as hell to take them as long as you know they're going to be coordinators. Like, okay, overlook them. That's our game. So,
yeah. Thank you, other 31 teams.
Yeah, exactly. Specialists. I mean, Money Mac was 4 for 4, hit a 51 yarder, had plenty of room to spare. Robbins was fine. He had I think four or five punts. Average of 44 yards, had a 65 yarder that hit at the 5 and looked like it was just going to bounce straight up in the air. Unfortunately, no one was able to get down and keep it out of the end zone for a touchback, but that's showed off his leg there and had a lot of hang time. But, you know, still technically a competition. Chrisman is going to be able to punt on Friday, so I'm curious to see how they do that. Again, I think Chrisman has to win it along with Robbins losing the job for Chrisman to stick around, but I bet Chrisman, they'll probably stash Chrisman on practice squad. So outside of that, and that pretty much wraps up all, you know, everything from last week's game. This week's game is Friday, 7:30 at Atlanta. We get to see our old friend Jesse Bates. I doubt Jesse Bates is even going to be playing. What are you looking forward to? What are you looking for from the team?
I'm looking for steps from the guys. I hate to say it this way, the guys that matter. I'm looking for another step forward from those guys. I'm pumping the brakes on all the concerns from week one because the NFL is what have you done for me lately? So week two is here. If, you know, if you feel bad about a position, you got a week right here. You play well, all of a sudden we're going, look at this. So if we can see just incremental steps forward, I will be wildly happy because a lot of this stuff is all coming together. Obviously, we haven't seen the starters yet, but we know what we're getting there. We've already talked about they added depth that we feel like we have. And now if in a couple spots we can just take a minor step forward, I'm fired up for this season, and I feel like we're in a good spot, and I feel like we can only get additional options through these next couple weeks, additional options of X, Y, and Z played well, and they're ready to go. So that's what I'm looking for is guys to step up and just play, take a step forward.
Yeah. Like I said before, Trevor Siemian's starting. He's going to play the first half. Jake Brown is going to be in the second half. I'm just looking for those guys to be more settled in. And again, I'm not expecting them to hit every third. They're not going to be able to hit those tight windows that Joe Burrow can, or, you know, be pinpoint on the back shoulder throws. Look like you belong on an NFL roster. You have, even though you're not throwing to Jamar Chase and T. Higgins, you still have talented guys you're throwing the ball to. So just get them the ball where it needs to be for them to make a play. Again, and on to those wide receivers, I'm looking for Yoshi to continue to ascend. Again, this is going to become a Andre Yochevash fan podcast by the end of the season.
I think we're already there.
The Riverfront Yoshi there. Show. Yeah, we'll have our background. We'll just be the dinosaur, you know, yeah. Yoshi the dinosaur from Mario Brothers. But the more I can see him, because again, once the lights go on for real, you know, we're only going to see him a handful of plays a game. Just the more to see that guy. He's a fun player. I'm looking for more cohesion with the offensive lines. Again, it remains to be seen how the back of that room is going to shake out. I assume we're going to see Carmen over on the left side instead of the right side this week. He played okay there last year. When he had to start a couple games in the playoffs. So if he can show that he's, you know, competent and can be the backup left tackle, or I guess technically he'd be the backup left tackle since Jones, the backup left tackle, but earn a roster spot. I mean, your pedigree kept you on the team this point. You're now on year three. No one cares what round you were drafted in. You've been terrible and you haven't grown. You need to grow big time in the next couple weeks.
Yeah, he really is starting to have a Billy Price kind of feel.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, now maybe they can swing a BJ Hill type trade out of Carmen. I don't know. I mean, I feel like he's really opening up the option of not being a part of this roster or the Bengals shipping him off for basically any kind of piece. I don't like where he's at right now.
Well, that's the other thing. If he can show that he can be a competent left tackle, again, but he's not going to be Trent Williams out there. He's not going to be Jason Peters out there. He's not going to be Anthony Munoz out there. But show that, you know, you can at least be a useful left tackle to build up your value for the Bengals to trade you. Otherwise, he's just going to be cut loose and, you know, you wasted a second-round pick on nothing. And, you know, that pick could have gone to Creed Humphrey. I mean, I know Creed Humphrey was later on in the draft, but I mean, that guy stepped in to be a center in day one, and then, you know, it's prove you're a professional. That's kind of what it comes down to. Prove this is what you're going to spend the next 10 years of your life doing it, and instead of going back and, you know, selling insurance or whatever. But
yeah, I think that's a great, way to put it. He needs to prove that he's a professional. I agree with that. That's a great sentence right there.
Thank you.
I don't like to give you credit often, but I'll give you that one.
Surprisingly, we made it this far without really mentioning much from Bengals first round pick, Miles Murphy. He had a kind of a so-so debut. He had a couple quarterback hits. I think he had one tackle. You know, especially not a whole lot going on. It's funny because there's an article in The Athletic, it was a Paul Danner Jr. article, and some of the comments were already calling him a bust. One preseason game when he's the youngest player on the field. Like, yeah, you want your first round picks to go out there and prove from, you know, the second they step on the field that they're, you know, they're ready to dominate, but let's give them a little bit of time. I mean, this is, you know, first time seeing the actual NFL speed, full speed against another team, and, you know, he'll be okay. I mean, he's got the speed. You saw some of his traits come out there. They asked him to drop back into coverage a few times. I doubt he really had to drop back in coverage a whole hell of a lot in college. Someone also tried to make the point that because he's from Clemson and Carmen was from Clemson, that maybe there's something to that. Like, T. Higgins went to Clemson. DJ Reader went to Clemson.
Trevor sounds Lawrence went to, like, that just sounds stupid, honestly. I mean, I pump the brakes, guys. I mean, preseason week one, and by the way, it wasn't like Miles Murphy went out there and was a dumpster fire. I mean, this makes no sense to me. None. I feel the total opposite way. I don't get this at all, but
it's like instant gratification. Like, what do you, like, this is what sports has kind of morphed into. Thank you, ESPN, for making everything about a hot take. And teams, like, some team doesn't win, the other team chokes, and it's all about, like, point, like, pushing forward the negative point. Like, he was fine. He looked like just the guy out there. It was his first time playing another NFL team. Yep. Let's give him another couple weeks and seasons before we call him a bust.
Yeah,
he's 21 years old.
I don't understand that at all. I mean, I guess by that logic, Dax Hill's a bust because he wasn't an all-pro as a rookie. Let's see. Aaron Rodgers is a bust because he didn't play his rookie year. I mean, this is such a ridiculous statement. A 21-year-old guy, like, if Miles Murphy came into the Bengals roster and didn't play a snap this year, he's still not a bust because he's 21 years old in the NFL and he's going to be ascending athletically. I think this is ridiculous.
Well, and he's going to be brought in just as a straight pass rush specialist to start out with anyway. I mean, this is – Bengals have two legitimate full-time starting defensive ends. Sam Hubbard rarely comes off the field. This is only to push Hubbard inside on pass rush situations or to spell Hendrickson for a few snaps. And I think Osai is going to be that first guy up to replace him anyway just because he's got a few more years of being a pro and understanding the NFL game. And Aruma had a couple of things where it's like you understand the difference in effort from college to NFL. Not that Murphy kind of skated by without giving effort, but you understand that offensive line, the best offensive lineman you played in college is probably the worst offensive lineman that you're facing on another team. Like, that's how it is. You know, just learning again, I don't even think this is a thing of like maturity, like with a Carmen or anything like that. It's just understanding, like, you're going up against some legitimate men. Like, this isn't college. Yeah. Like, I'll figure it out. A handful of snaps in one preseason game. Like, calm down, people.
Yeah. I mean, when you're 21 in college, you're older than what, 66% of the people you play against?
Yeah.
When you're 21 in the NFL, you are the youngest guy by far. It's not close. And you're playing against grown men that are just shredded. I can't express how ridiculous I think this is to say that he's a bust at this point. I think it's just laughable.
People are idiots. Again, that's why, folks, don't go on social media. Don't read the comments. It's do better. I try to avoid it. Unfortunately, I, you know, I fall into the trap, and the bigger trap is not getting into pissing contests with some of these people. Like, you might be the dumbest son of a bitch I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah. Right.
Either be a bigger person. Let's just know that they're, you know that you're smart and they're not.
Who would have the title for this one's going to be Pump the Brakes Wednesday, because I mean, a bust, that's insane. I just, wow.
What were you expecting them to do? Like a Derek Thomas 8 sacks in one game? Like what?
I have no idea. I mean, no idea.
Yeah. And people were like, yeah, I was expecting more. Like,
these are the same people that when they buy the Powerball ticket, they expect to hit. I guess. I mean, I just don't understand.
Yeah. Joe Burrow go out there 28 for 30 and they'll be pissed about the two incompletions.
Yeah. I don't know.
Pretty much the only other Bengals news going on right now. Again, there's no news on any extensions or anything. Those are going to be coming, knock on wood. You know, we still got a month before a little less than a month before the season starts. Joe Mixon's trial is going on for the menacing charge. It's day 3 right now. It could go into day 4. I'm curious. A conviction could bring jail time. I don't think he'd get jail time, but there's a likelihood that there would be a suspension in the commissioner's office for a handful of games. That's kind of why it's important to see these running backs flash. You would like it to be someone who's got a few years, like Trevion Williams. Like, he needs to be able to stay healthy, or Chris Evans. But if it's Chase Brown, has to be the bellwether for a couple of games, I mean, he's the freshest and he's might be the most ready athletically. Then so be it. But you want these guys to be able to show that they're able to carry the load if need be for a handful of games. So,
if there's one spot that bad things could happen at and it's not going to worry me at all, it's running back, because I don't think Joe Mixon's that guy anymore. Not what he was a couple years ago. So, and if you can plug and play in any position in this offense, it's got to be running back. I mean, I could run behind some of the looks that you get from defenses because we're so so vertically threatening. So the Joe Mixon thing, I mean, if he's out, I want him to be out, but we'll be fine. We'll be fine.
Yeah, they'll be able to just kind of patchwork muster together, get 3.5 yards a carry. That's all I care about. Gain yards on a light box. That's something that Mixon can't even do, for God's sakes. That's the thing I don't understand. You've got a light box, like they're playing deep safeties. And Mixon is a bigger back, and he struggles to gain. Like, you break one tackle, and you get 10 yards. Anyway, that's we spent pretty much the entire offseason kind of devaluing the running backs. We don't need to continue it, though.
Don't get us started. Don't get us started.
Outside of that, anything else you want to say before we get out of here?
Is there something we can do to get the Reds rolling? Just like get a win? I don't know. I mean, we just need something. Just need something. The Brewers played 3 first place teams in a row. This is your chance. Go win some games, Reds. Go win some games.
It's the Ohio Cup. If they can't get pumped for the Ohio Cup against the Cleveland Guardians, God, it is still weird to say Guardians. It's better than the old name, but still, it's still really weird.
Yeah.
Again, they've got guys coming. Hunter Group Green will be back. I think he's ready to. He'll be starting on Sunday. Lodolo not too far behind. So at least this hopefully will be the end of the Luke Weaver experience. It's gone on 20 starts too long. He has the highest ERA in Reds history of anybody who's made 20 starts or more with the team. So, yay, Luke, you're not going to be forgotten anytime soon. But again, they've done their, the Reds have done their duty. They've kept things relevant. So there's at least some sports conversation going on in the dead period in the NFL season. So outside of that, we will be back here next week. Hopefully talking about a lot more, better performance from the offensive line, more growth from the secondary. Hopefully one of the running backs are going to have a big game. I don't know who it is. Somebody's going to have a big game. We're going to have some fun to talk about. So outside of that, everybody, be good. Take care.